93.9 FM CICK, located in Smithers, British Columbia.
For 28 years, I've worked at street level in Smithers, and I'm really proud. I'm really proud that we have a shelter in place now. But I think it was 3 days ago, we almost had someone freeze to death at the encampment. And that shouldn't be happening in Smithers. In all my years here, 30 years I've lived here, Smithers has always been a community where you look out for each other. I really wish we could get back to that. Thank you.
All right, we are back here in the second hour of Syrup Moose Radio, taking a listen to the comments, the public comments at the presentation regarding the warming shelter, and just want to take another second to really and emphasize what that last speaker said about, you know, people are freezing, almost freezing to death. This is not a hypothetical. This is a thing that's happening. And, you know, and I think part of the issue too comes down to the politicization of everything. Every single thing is a partisan political issue, and you can see it in the behavior of Sharon Hartwell openly sharing misinformation about this, openly lying about this place, and you can see that that desire to rile up a conservative base, and it's working. And like this guy said, you know, this could be a community that this, you know, I haven't lived here as long as him, but this, it sounds like, was a community where people looked out for each other. And that doesn't seem to be the case now. So what's the plan? You know? And anyway, we're going to keep listening to some of these comments. At this point, I think I'm just going to go through all of them and we'll just see how it goes. So here's the next one.
Immediate neighbor to just down the alley to Goodacre Place, the Alfred Avenue Prospect, and the Tent City. I've attended every hearing for all of those ones in the past, and Mayor Attrell summed it up quite well. You know, the difference between this hearing and the other one, this one is after the fact, not ahead of it for public. And the reasons I found online were explained, you know, there's no zoning requirement required. It's within that. But BC Housing is involved, Town of Smithers is involved. And I'd just like to say with the first project, the Goodacre Place, to the surprise of many, I came out in support of it. And a lot of people were taken aback by that. But I'd said for years that we required a facility in this town. And I thought that I would be a hypocrite if I was a NIMBY and said, just because they're putting it in my backyard, now I'm against it. But at that hearing, I did raise three concerns, and I warned of repercussions which were to come, which would be open drug and alcohol use, an increase in crime, and lower values in the far end of Main Street in my area. I attended the meeting for the Alfred Avenue one, and as Councillor Buchel member, I came out in grudging support of it. And grudging support means that even if you don't support it, you better come in and say your two cents while you have the chance. And I brought up the point that the three warnings that I did about Goodacre Play and the other had come to fruition. I do not support the Tent City, but at the same time, I like to think myself a compassionate person, and I don't think anybody in this room wants to see anyone freeze to death or suffer undue harm. Right now, because of the way it's come about, I think there's been a bit of a knee-jerk reaction. And I'd like to say that I don't think that there's a single person in this room, including myself or any other group, who's going to solve this problem because of its complex and convoluted nature. There needs to be more discussion. I think it should have been a little bit more open at the beginning, and you wouldn't see the public backlash we're experiencing right now. But no one wants to see anybody freeze to death, whether it's in our community or walking across a border. And the problem is getting worse. The problem which I brought up and several others did at the one for the Alfred Avenue was the concentration. And some refer to it as creating a ghetto area in the far end of Main Street. There's no arguing that there's been an impact on the businesses in that area and on the residents. At the Alfred Avenue one, I spoke how I had 3 break-ins in 48 hours, and I was the talk of the detachment. I've had my say. I won't, I'll respect the red card. It's not the first one I ever got, but, and yeah, I'm glad that people have come out, and to say, as someone who lives in the immediate vicinity, I have a vested interest and a stake in it, but I'm not for it, and I'm not against it. I'm just here to see that the best possible outcome is achieved.
Something that comes up in that is the issue of, and it comes up in a lot of conversations about harm reduction and about, you know, these kinds of facilities. And that's the idea that they are the cause of increased drug use and, you know, public drug use. And I think that misses the point. These things are happening whether or not these facilities exist, you know, and the facilities existing, it only makes things safer. And again, I can't, so many conversations get bogged down in logistics and bureaucracy, but we're not talking about something that can be worked on for a year and a half until everybody's ready and satisfied and the outcome is perfect. I mean, that's first of all not going to happen, but time is of the essence here. Time is a huge factor, and you know, there's so much talk about, we need to just sit around and talk about it first. And I have to wonder, what is the utility in that? We have had the conversations. People are having the conversation constantly. What we need now are actions. And now folks take action, and now that's a problem. And we want to say it's because of the process. But is that really what the problem is? So here's some more.
Both of my kids go to Muheim Elementary on 3rd Avenue, and I'm a patient at the new Valley Health Center in the new location directly beside the old Fabrications building. My family and I regularly commute directly alongside this route every day. I have personally had the privilege of getting to know many of the unhoused community members in this town. I feel incredibly thankful for the deep relationships that I have with those individuals. So much of the opposition for this initiative that I've seen online and in conversations has been based off of misinformation. I'd like to specifically comment about our MLA, Sharon Hartwell's letter published on conservativebc.ca on November 10th. As an elected official with a large influence in our community, I expect Sharon to be educated in topics and ensure that she has accurate information before publishing opinions. This temporary winter shelter is not a safe supply site, as she stated, but claiming that is largely created panic amongst many residents, and that's what I kept hearing again and again before this meeting. Overall, I just would like to express my deep appreciation to the BV Harm Reduction Society for doing the hard work to ensure safety for our most vulnerable community members, and I would like to publicly express my support for this project. Thank you very much.
Just for context, folks, I have been at the beginning of some of these cutting off people's full names and addresses. They do mention their address, and that's not, I'm not trying to be, you know, doxing people or anything like that. And, you know, I wish that they were censored on the YouTube thing, but, you know, neither here nor there. And just fully agree with this person's comments about Sharon Hartwell. I think the fact that she published the letter she published and said the things that she said should be disqualifying from government. You know, like, as she said, you are an elected official, you should be educated. And instead, you are politicizing. You are taking action to cause panic on purpose. And, you know, and you can argue that that wasn't your intention, and that's fine, whatever. It's my opinion that you were, I guess, and it's your word against mine, and I'm not the elected official. But the things that you do, if you're going to be in government, influence people. And the intention of that letter was clear. So I just want to really shout out that person for the comments that they made, because I think they're very important. So here's some more.
Just clarifying that even if a person like myself was not in support of a shelter, that is being proposed here. Doesn't mean that I want people to freeze to death. Doesn't mean that I don't love, Ms. Patrick, who passed away a year or two ago. Those sorts of labels, I think, are unhelpful. I don't support the warming shelter. As a tenant to the building that's right next door to the shelter, I have concerns about the safety of myself and my staff. Our entrance for our staff comes in off that kind of side alleyway that directly faces the proposed shelter. And I'm concerned, particularly in the early mornings when my female staff members open up our shop, that they'll be approached for money or accosted perhaps for their valuables. I hope that's not to be, and I hope my prediction is wrong, but this is my concern. Also break-ins, for example, to the property where I house confidential patient records, laptops, computers, money, break-ins to cars, these sorts of concerns I have as a tenant. I feel bad for my landlord who's invested $3 million in a beautiful building, and that building probably isn't worth $1 million today. I lament that. I'm also not in support of a shelter like this because of its open drug use concept. I fully support shelters that would allow a hot meal, shower, warm bed, these sorts of dignifying services. But as soon as a shelter allows 24 hours, the folks can come and go as they please. They can do drug use in the open if they please. This is not loving. This is not helping them. It's just continuing to facilitate their addiction. And I don't believe that's a loving posture. I certainly don't believe that's what Jesus intended when he said, love your neighbor as yourself. Lastly, I'll comment about, as a physician, I just wanted to say that there's not a unanimous opinion in the medical world about so-called harm reduction approach to drug use. So I might be in the minority here, but I just see harm reduction, I'll use that in quotation marks, as a giant failure. Started in the 80s downtown Vancouver, where they'd give out clean needles and say, hey, we're helping people because we're decreasing hep C and HIV spread, and then safe injection sites. And now we're basically just giving people drugs and a better tent, thinking that we're loving them. I don't believe that's love, and it's not good medicine. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I mean, comments against harm reduction are always kind of along this line, suggesting that it is some kind of grand failure or doesn't work, or it's just giving people free drugs, and that's simply not the case. And it misunderstands addiction, and it misunderstands It just shows a misunderstanding and a blatant disregard for, you know, the facts. And, you know, we hear folks like this will say things about research and studies, and they're not bringing those things. And, you know, again, we've got the kind of cherry picking of religious text again. You know, this, you know, when Jesus said, love thy neighbor or whatever, he didn't mean like this neighbor, right? And I find that kind of ironic. And you know, look, I'm not here to, I'm not the moral authority, right? It is interesting that there is some pushback at the beginning about, you know, just because I don't support the shelter doesn't mean that I want people to freeze to death, but maybe that's true. I mean, I don't think anybody consciously, unless they are truly monstrous, wants someone to freeze to death, but what you need to understand is that you come out in opposition to this, and this is the thing in place to help people not freeze to death. So my question is, what is your idea? You know, you mentioned that people can come and go as they please and do drugs as they please. And so, is the advocation there that you would rather they not be able to come and go as they please or do drugs as they please? So we're talking about just incarceration then. And, again, the research is very clear that that is not the case, and that is not what is effective. Incarceration is a huge problem. And, you know, part of the reason that there are shortcomings of harm reduction comes down to the fact that everybody seems to fight against it. We do not have a safe supply in Canada. We do not have that kind of acceptance. And, you know, we have eased some of the criminalization of drugs, but people are still dying constantly. Children, like youth, are dying and addicted. And, you know, we talk about how this could harm the children. What about the children that are already facing homelessness, that are already facing issues of addiction? Where is the empathy for them? Right? This is not a group of hardcore criminals that are out there to snatch your purse, right? This is a community. This is a group who is struggling and trying to survive. And we're having a conversation about what the right way for them to survive is. And I just find that profoundly disappointing. Anyway, here's another one. After this next one, we'll do a music break.
Hello. I was born and raised in this town. I've had experience with addiction in the past. And what I see here, I don't think is positive. What I've seen in the community with our tent city, I don't think is positive. There's been an influx of violent crime, drug use, drug crime, theft, burglary. The enabling behavior we are doing is not helping the situation. There needs to be more security. There needs to be more personal accountability to the people using these facilities, to use them just for help, as in hygiene, warm place to be, food, nothing else.
Very quickly, I want to just touch a little bit on the idea that we have an influx of violent crime in Smithers. And what's interesting to me there is, so Statistics Canada does a crime severity index and weighted clearance rate police services in British Columbia. And I think it's worth knowing that looking at these numbers going all the way back to 2001 up until 2024, they have stayed more or less consistent. The height of Smithers' position on the crime severity index actually happened between 2001 and 2008, and it's actually down in 2024 by 10%, or by 10.82, whatever that is in there. So, and again, this is the other conversation that comes up a lot, is these places bring crime, and that's just not the case, and that's just not supported by the numbers that are out there. So, you know, there you go. And again, I'm not going to keep arguing against harm reduction, or arguing against people who are misinformed or misguided about harm reduction, because it's not, I've already stated my piece on it, and it's just not constructive. So, we're going to play a song, and then we'll come back and listen to some more comments.
Take and take with thee, but it only looks in love.
Ain't My Game, Speed, and you're listening to Sirtmas Radio. We are still listening to the comments from the public forum regarding the shelter, and this is one of those things. I am glad that the shelter is here, and I really, really hope that nothing that is said during this meeting impacts its ability to function, because it is... And I've said this before, and I will continue to say it. It is an objectively good service that must exist. We should not, we cannot call ourselves, you know, a civilized country, and yet we have people who starve to death or freeze to death without a home. I don't think we get to do both. We don't get to call ourselves better than America when this is the kind of thing that we're fighting against. It's a place for people to make sure they can survive the few months that are unbearably cold. And I really want people to keep that in mind and consider that. And look, I think that we're in a position politically, especially, where all of this 2-hour episode of the show could amount to zero minds changed and zero, major impact, but it's worth saying, because as soon as someone like me, who does believe in that we can do better, stops talking and just sort of lets things happen, then we've lost. And what's the point of it? I have to maintain some level of optimism and some level of hope, or I'll go insane. So that's what I'm trying to do. So let's get into the next one.
Excuse me. My name is Edward. I'm a resident of technically RDBNA. Hello, everybody behind me. I don't actually have anything prepared to say. I feel woefully unprepared and out of my element right now. But all that I do want to say is this is an issue that is way larger than just the municipality. And I think that there's a need to do something municipally that is going to address the issues that we're having. And there needs to be a greater degree, of pressure placed on provincial governance to actually serve their mandate and do what is necessary at a broader scale. And I think that what I have had to say just now is in no way, shape, or form to negate the previous speaker or any speaker prior who has spoken out against this one site. And I think that it's just important to balance between the two mandates of a municipality and that of the province. So that's all that I really wanted to say. And if there is a need for more security and whatnot, I think that's also something that should absolutely be provided. The one thing that I just remembered, thankfully, there are people who still die in their homes. And the biggest difference that we're largely focusing on in this room right now is the status of housing that an individual has. And what I'm hearing from a lot of people is, if an individual is to pass away in their home, it's a tragedy. If an individual is to pass away in the street from exposure, that's a perfectly acceptable ramification of that person's challenges with regards to substance issues, which are largely informed by basically their capacity to handle stress, which is largely governed by their life experiences. And I think that that's why this is such a bigger issue than just, is the person housed or not? And do we turn a blind eye when it's individuals in our community and in our workplaces and in our places of worship where they are housed and they do use, but we turn a blind eye because they're keeping it together well enough, largely through the privilege that they've had in their lives. And so I just want to basically say that we're spending a lot of time to negotiate and discuss the dignity of a human life because of the conditions that they're in. And to simply chalk up housing insecurity to a person's challenges with substance addiction or misuse is a terribly reductive error that has underpinned everything that has happened with regards to addiction for the past 40 years plus. Mental health supports aren't there. The money isn't being put into it. And at a certain point, we have to say, let's change something. So thank you.
You know, I appreciate when folks speak, you know, unpreparedly speak better than I can with a little bit of distance and time. Like, again, there's really not much for me to say in response to that. I think that their point is actually beautiful. You know, when someone who uses drugs dies in their home, it's a tragedy. But when they die on the street, that's their own fault. And I think that is a stunningly realized point. And, you know, I think that there's a lot of effort there to be kind and to be polite. But there is at least to me, a very familiar anger in their feeling. And, you know, I'm not going to do like voice analysis or tone or whatever, but you know, like this is a massive issue and we want to debate the value of a person's ability to live, which is a pretty dark thing for a culture and a society to do, I think. So.
Temporary shelter, I guess you call it. I'm more going to talk about the town's role in this and the policy about it, so it might be a bit boring for some people. This is specifically for the town employees here. Once again, here we are. A large response from the public and another emergency meeting. I would have thought that the town and BC Housing would have learned after the Capri Hotel adventure that the citizens of Smithers expect more than the cookie cutter approach to these issues. But I guess I expected too much. I thought your takeaway from that would have been to improve the communication and bring forward a comprehensive plan. Instead, we have been treated to lies and obfuscation. We have been railroaded to the point of this useless meeting for an already approved project. So much for the engaging the neighborhood. I was in the town office on Friday talking with the CAO, Michael, and on the phone with the mayor, trying to get the permit approval delayed until after this meeting. Unfortunately, I was not aware that the permit had already been issued. Nobody told me, so I was basically wasting my time. The last 2 weeks, I've had numerous discussions with town officials, and I was told repeatedly that this came out of nowhere, that the town was blindsided, and that there was nothing the town could do to delay or stop the project. But after looking into this a little further, I realized that not only was the town aware, the mayor had been actually pursuing this since 2022 and before. So as early as 2022 or before, which when the town moved the encampment to the downtown area, they were aware of the loophole in the Variance Act that was before mentioned. They knew and did nothing at that time. Basically the rescue mission part of the variance. So here we are, no input, no vote, permit approved, emergency meeting that means nothing. Didn't the town think that it would have been a good idea to put a firewall around the zoning usage so that when this came up again, the community would have a say? I mean, I think that would have been appropriate at that time to do that. And it should be an option moving forward for the town.